All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, for the message this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And if you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack right in front of you, and you may feel free to use it. Luke, chapter 2. And I want to read just a few verses, and then we're going to turn over to the Gospel of Matthew and read the couple of verses there in Matthew 2. But let's begin here with Luke's Gospel and Luke's telling us about the Christmas story. And if you will look at verse 1, we'll read down to verse 7. Verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." So Caesar sent a command out that all of the known world, all of the Roman Empire. Now you just imagine this. This is huge. Everybody in the Roman Empire was going to have to pay a tax. And that's huge. You say, well, how in the world do you tax everybody like that? Well, you have them return to wherever they're from, and they register, and they pay their tax. And that's what happened here to Joseph and Mary. All right, so Caesar sent out a decree that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, notice this, every one into his own city. So you went to the city of your birth, all right, where you were from. And verse 4, it says that Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And then Luke puts parentheses, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Now, let me stop right here and answer this question. I have had several people lately ask me, what are swaddling clothes? And to put it to you very simply, swaddling clothes were worn out clothes. We call them rags, okay? Worn out clothing that you wore, and it's threadbare, it's began to fray, it is torn, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so worn out clothing, and so they would take their worn out clothing, threadbare clothing, and they would just throw it into a box, get it out of the way, and it was stored. And then instead of using good clothing to wrap a deceased person for burial, they would use these threadbare clothes, these worn out clothes. And several layers would have to be applied, but over the course of a lifetime, you would use and gather a lot of swaddling clothes. And that is what they did when Christ was born. You say, well, why did they do that? Well, probably one reason was because that's all they had. And they were in the manger or in the stable. And that's probably where the swaddling clothes were kept, was outside the house in this manger or in this stable where Christ was born, not in the house proper, but out of the weather and in the stable. And so when he was born, they wrapped him in the swaddling clothes. Now, let me remind you that the reason that our Savior was born in Bethlehem's manger was to die. He was born to die. He came into this world for the express purpose of going to the cross at Calvary and giving his life as a ransom for our sin. And so it's only natural that when he was born, they would, as a sign, as an omen, wrap him in grave clothes, signifying that he came to die. All right, so verse 7 says, that they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Now watch, because there was no room for them in the inn. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of missing Christmas. Missing Christmas. Now, I want you to think about it. I'm going to pray, and then I'll give you the introduction. And I'm going to show you three people, one in this passage and two more in another passage in Matthew. And I'm going to show you that these folks were there. They were there, but they missed it. And I want to challenge you, don't miss Christmas. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you now for our time together. And I pray that you will bless the Word of God to our hearts today. We are just so thankful that we have a Bible, and we're thankful that we have a Savior we can talk about. He is a wonderful Savior, a living Savior. And I pray that you will bless as I speak this morning about the living, wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So fill me with your Spirit, Father. Bless and help us today. Give us spiritual ears that we may hear what thus saith the Lord today. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Several years ago, when I pastored in a church previous to this one, this happened about 25, 26 years ago. There was a family in our church, sweet people, just wonderful people. The mom and the dad and their son and his wife and their daughter and her husband and all the grandchildren, they all attended our church. And the patriarch of the family got sick right around Thanksgiving time, just grew deathly ill and had to have surgery. And so they did the surgery, and when the surgery was over, it took a little while for him to rebound and recover, and he was doing a little bit better, and then all of a sudden he got really sick again. And they rushed him back to the hospital and found out that he had some kind of an infection, and that infection had gotten in his bloodstream, and the poor fellow was just deathly ill. And in order to treat him, he was given some kind of an intravenous treatment or serum that caused him or made him lapse into a coma. And all of this happened right before Christmas, just a couple of weeks before Christmas. And so all during Christmas Day and the week of Christmas and New Year's and the week of New Year's, this man was in a coma. It was an induced coma, but nonetheless, the man was in a coma. And he finally came out of it about the second week of January. And slowly they brought him out of the coma, and slowly he began to get his sense about him. And then a few weeks later, he was able to speak. And then a few weeks later, able to get up. And then a few weeks later, able to come back to church. And once he got back to church, we were talking. And he looked at me and said, "Pastor," he said, "this was the strangest thing that I've ever had to go through." And he said, "You know, every year of your life, you experience Christmas." And he said, "Christmas has always been my favorite time of the year. But this year, I missed Christmas." And I said, "Yeah, you did." And he said, "No." He said, "You don't understand." He said, "I missed Christmas." And I said, "Oh, no, I do understand." He said, "Pastor, I'm not sure you do." He said, "I was in a coma. I was out. They had Christmas and I missed it." And I said, "Yeah, I got that part." And he just could not emphasize to me that no matter how much I tried to identify with how he what he experienced, there was no way that I could genuinely identify with what he had to go through. I did not miss Christmas. He did. And he could not communicate to me just how strange it was after all those years of having Christmas every year, not to have Christmas and then to wake up and not have any hope of having Christmas. It's gone. And he had missed it. Well, I want to speak to you this morning about some people that we read about in the Bible who missed the first Christmas. Now, they were there. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. They were there, but they missed the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the tragedy is that they really had no good reason. None of them had a good reason or even a bad reason for missing the birth of the Lord Jesus. There was no good reason why they should miss it. Now, I think that that same thing can be said of a lot of folks today. They miss the point of our Savior coming to be born in Bethlehem's manger into this world. There are, of course, some folks that are so bound in their sin. They are so wrapped up in themselves and in their own sin that they're just they just miss Christmas. They just miss what Christmas is all about. There are others who are just so busy. I mean, Christmas is a busy time of the year, and for some folks, it's all about getting and giving and buying and shopping and working, and they just are so busy that they don't have the time to notice what Christmas is all about. And then there are some folks, well, let's just be honest, they're just so carnally minded, so worldly minded, and they just care nothing about spiritual things. I mean, the truth is, folks, there are a lot of reasons as to why people miss the real meaning of Christmas. And I hope that every person in this room this morning will listen to what I'm about to give you, and that you will pay attention to the fact that of what Christmas is all about. I'm going to do my best this morning to present the Lord Jesus to you. And I don't want any of you to miss the Lord and miss what Christmas is all about. Now, let's look this morning at a few folks who missed Christmas. First of all, I want us to focus on this innkeeper that we read about in verse 7. I want you to notice this fellow. The Bible here says in verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, folks, I want you to notice this innkeeper here. The Bible does not mention the man specifically. If you read this section or read the verses after it, you're going to find out his name is never mentioned. We do know that there was a man. We just don't know what his name was. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know that there was a man? Because in verse 7 it says that there was no room for them in the inn. And I submit to you that someone had to tell Joseph and Mary that there was no room for them in the inn. So the verse implies the existence of this man, does it not? All right, thank you very much. Four of you agreed. Okay, so the hustle and bustle of the season, not Christmas season, but the tax season. You see, this man was so busy with tax season, and he was so busy renting out the rooms in his inn was full. And when Joseph and Mary came and asked, is there any way that we could get a room for tonight? And the man said, I'm sorry, the inn is full. The innkeeper, however, said, I've got room in the stable where the animals are kept. At least the weather will be off of your wife, and you can use that. And the innkeeper let them use the stable, and that's where the Lord Jesus was born. So, but notice, his preoccupation with his business kept him away from the Lord Jesus. Caesar Augustus brought Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem to be taxed. Joseph and Mary were living in the city of Nazareth up in Galilee, but they had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, in Judah, to register for the tax. And there, in the city of David, just exactly as the Bible said, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born. And notice, folks, this Messiah was born right under the nose of this innkeeper, and he missed it. He was too busy to care that Jesus, the Messiah, was born in the manger. Can you hear him now? Can you hear him up talking at his desk? I mean, folks are crowding into Bethlehem, and strangers are knocking on his door all hours of the day and night. And if someone had asked him, well, how are you doing? You know, he wouldn't have hesitated a minute. He would have started, and he would have said, well, you know, I'm just so busy. I mean, folks are just wearing me out here. And we get one room cleaned, and somebody's knocking on the door, and they want to stay in that room. And there's a thousand things that need doing, and I am so busy, I don't have time to breathe. And I want to tell you something, folks, that is exactly the attitude that our world has today, and they're using that, many of them, as an excuse for missing the real reason for Christmas. Oh, I don't have time for God. My friend, if you don't have time for God, I want to serve notice on you, you're too busy. You're just too busy. If you're too busy for God, then you're too busy. Materialistic people who miss the meaning of Christmas simply because of their busyness and their selfishness and their work and their lives and their themselves, well, they're just way too busy. And if you're too busy to give your life to the Lord, then, my friend, you are just too busy. Now, I want to ask you something. I want you to imagine this innkeeper, he's standing there, and there's a knock at the door. Can you see him roll his eyes? He says, oh, there's another one. And somebody else is now wanting to stay, and he rolls his eyes. And he walks over, opens the door, and Joseph looks at him and says, do you have room? And the man says, no. Let me ask you, dear friend, here it is 2,000 years later. And let me ask you this question. Do you have room for Jesus? Do you have room for him? I mean, you came to church this morning, and maybe you are not even sure why you came. But now you're here. And now that you're here and hearing the music and hearing the message, you feel the Lord knocking at the door of your heart. And the Lord is asking if you will open the door of your heart and let him come in. You see, he wants you to invite him in. We need to realize, folks, God did not bring us into this world just for us to do our own thing. God brought us into this world to get saved and then serve him. And the innkeeper missed Christ. What a sad story. And now you're here. So I'm asking you this morning, would you please not miss him today? Please do not miss him today. There's a second person I want you to look at. Go over in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew and to chapter 2. Go to the second chapter of Matthew's Gospel. I want you to look at another couple of characters here in Matthew chapter 2. Let me read some verses and you follow along. Matthew 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Wise men from the east. Wow. They came seeking the Savior. They're looking for him. Do you get that? Verse 2. And they said, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now go back to verse 1. You see that guy up there? Herod the what? King, all right? Do you see that? And now all of a sudden, here come these wise men from Persia, from the east, from Iran. They come and knock on Herod's door, King Herod's door, and they ask King Herod, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Wait a minute, Herod was king of the Jews. You with me? I don't think Herod took too kindly to somebody taking his place. Do you? Not at all. As a matter of fact, if you look at verse 3, it says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. Why would Jerusalem be troubled? Because you don't make Herod mad, that's why. All right? They said in verse 2, we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And verse 4 says, and when he, Herod, had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he asked in a very kind and gracious way. No. He demanded of them. In other words, you tell me right now or off goes your head. He demanded of them where Christ, Messiah should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem, Micah 5:2, by the way, that's the prophecy, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Let me just stop right here and say, yeah, all right. Herod had no intention of worshiping the king. None. You say, what was he going to do? Well, you go down to the end of the chapter, you'll find out what he was going to do. He sent his men down to Bethlehem to kill all the babies 2 years old and under. He wasn't going to worship him. He was going to kill him. Now, look at me, folks. I'm going to blow you out of the water here, some of you. Most of you know this because you've been here a while. You see the manger scenes, and you see the shepherds, and you see the three wise men. Wrong. All right? Wrong. I know it's cute and all that, but it's wrong. The wise men were not there the night Christ was born. The star appeared in the east the night the child was born. That's when the star appeared. You will notice, young child, when you have found, go and search diligently for the young child. And when they found him, they found him in Nazareth, in the house, not in the stable. They didn't go to Bethlehem, they went to Nazareth. When they started out, the star appeared and did not lead them to Bethlehem south, it led them north to Nazareth. And they came to the house where the young child was. He was probably about two. You say, why two? That's how young and below Herod executed the children in Bethlehem. You with me on that? All right, so here's our next character, point number two. We're talking about men who miss Christmas. King Herod missed Christmas. He missed it. A second man who missed it was Herod the king. And by the way, folks, you should not be surprised by this, because from what we know from the Bible and what we know from history, Herod was a wicked, terrible, evil-hearted man. We know from the Bible here, he murdered these children 2 years old and under. You say, well, there wouldn't have been very many of them. Who cares? If it was one, it was evil. You'll read in history, he murdered members of his own family because they were a threat to his rule as king of Judah. The inquiry of the wise men was, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And Herod knew that there were no recent births in the palace. And he also knew that the Persian princes were speaking of the birth of the Messiah. And so he said, well, let me inquire about that. So he brought in the priest and the religionist of the day and asked them. And they told him that the Bible said that the king, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. And so what an ingenious, sly maneuver for murder did Herod come up with? Folks, he was not planning to worship. He was planning to murder. And Herod missed Christ because of his own selfishness and because of his own greed and sinful self-interest. And I submit to you, folks, that there are multitudes who will miss Christ every Christmas because of their love for sin and themselves. They would rather enjoy, like Herod, the pleasures of sin for a season than to come to Christ for an eternity. Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8 and verse 36, "And what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Let me tell you something, folks. If you are here this morning and not sure you're saved and not sure that you are guaranteed a home in heaven, your real self-interest lies in finding the one who loved you and who died on Calvary's cross to be your Savior. I mean, that ought to be the goal of your life right there, to find and know for sure the Savior of this world. You don't want to waste your life on the sins of this world, on selfish gain. You don't want to waste your life on just grabbing a hold of all that the world has to offer and then spend your whole life in sin only to wake up one day and find yourself in hell. Why don't you come and trust the Lord as your Savior while you still have the opportunity? You think that Herod would have just gotten on his chariot and just hightailed it down to Bethlehem. You would have thought that Herod, I mean, this man has, he's been the king in Jerusalem for all these years. He has heard all of these priests talk about the Messiah. He has been to every service at the temple, and he has listened with his ears over and over and over. And you would have thought that once Herod saw these wise men, that he would have said, get my chariot ready. Get the guards ready. We're going to Bethlehem. We're going to find this king. I'm going to worship him. You would think that would happen, but oh no, not Herod. Why? Oh, he missed it all. Because he didn't want to give up his power. He didn't want to give up his ways. I've actually had folks say to me, oh, you know, I don't want to get saved. You don't? Why? Well, you know, I all my buddies are going to be in hell. We're going to have a time when we get there. No, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. You're not going to have a time when you get there. It's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth when you get there. You say, oh, well, all my buddies will be there. Listen, it's a place of outer darkness. You're not going to see your buddies down there. And so what if you do? Suffering for all eternity? I'm telling you, don't fool around like Herod and miss it. Don't fool around and miss it. Herod missed the Savior coming. Then there's one more I want you to notice. Look with me, please, at your Bible at verse 4. There's one more. The innkeeper... oh, he missed it. Herod missed it. There's one more I want you to see. Look at verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together. Number 3, the scribe, the religionist. They missed it. Folks, they missed it. Isn't that awful? I mean, you would think if anybody would have gotten it, the reverends would have got it. Right? It's absolutely amazing to me that these religionists, this is the sad part. I mean, the scribes, you know who the scribes were? Those were the guys that took the text of the Bible and penned it. They penned the Bible. Back in those days, you couldn't send it down to Minuteman Press. No, you had a scribe, and that was his trade. He learned the trade from his daddy, and he sat down with a text of the Bible, and he copied because they wear out. I've had this one for a few years, and it's wearing out. Now, I've got another one just like this one in my office. I might start using it. I don't know, but I've got so many notes and stuff in this one, I hate to give it up. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? In other words, they wear out. And so I've got another one, and I'll probably pull it out and break it in and start using it because this one's falling apart. But back in those days, they just got a scribe, and he started writing out the text. Wonder how many times those scribes translated Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. You listening? Wonder how many times Micah 5:2, huh? But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be least among the princes of Judah, yet out of thee shall a governor come. Wow. Where's he going to be born? They knew. They knew. Yet they missed it. The Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees were the religious liberals of the day. They didn't believe anything. They hated the doctrine of the resurrection, which is the foundation of the gospel, by the way. And they hated the resurrection. They said, oh, no, there's no such thing as a resurrection. Nobody gets a resurrection. You die, you're dead. That's it. Nobody gets a resurrection. Now, if you had no hope of a resurrection and eternal life, you would be sad, you see. Come on, you got it? All right. Six of you, that's awesome. Six of you are awake. That's just awesome. Okay, so they missed it. The Pharisees, oh, by the way, you read the book of Acts, folks. Not one example, not one story, not one Sadducee, not one Sadducee, not one, not one, not even one Sadducee gets saved in the book of Acts. Not one. Pharisees do. Some Pharisees did. Paul was a Pharisee, but not one Sadducee. Isn't that sad, you see? Is it not? Hey, I'm just trying to get you to think. Let me tell you something, folks. There's always been liberalism. As long as men have been on the planet, as long as the devil has been the devil, there's been liberalism. And they just don't think the way we do. You say, well, I'm a liberal. Well, you don't think the way I do. And thank God I don't think the way you do. You say, well, that's how I see it. Thank God I don't think the way you do. You ought to read the Bible. It'll change the way you think. You say, well, you ought to listen to Clinton. That'll change the way. No. No. I don't want to change the way I think. I don't want to change the way I think. I'm going to think. I want to think the way God thinks. You hang around somebody, you start acting like them. Hello. The scribe, this is so sad. The scribes, the priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all the people who should never have missed the birth of Christ, missed it. How sad is that? You see, they had the scriptures. Herod wanted to know what the scripture said concerning the birth of the Messiah. Where would he be born? They knew. They knew. But they did not come to investigate. Why didn't they come? It's called pride. It's called religious pride. Probably the same reason why some of you aren't saved yet. It's called religious pride. You think your grandmother's religion's good enough for you. You think your old dead liberal church is good enough for you. You think your baptism is good enough for you. You think your church membership is good enough for you. Brethren, listen, pride is an awful thing. You got it all figured out, though, don't you? And that's what they did. That's what they did. You've heard all about it. You know all. You've heard all the sermons, and the soul winners have come, and they've knocked on your door, and they've talked to you, but you haven't gotten saved yet. And my question to you is, why? And the answer is, well, maybe your pride is keeping you from seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, I'm not that bad. I'm just as good as the next guy. And you're right, you are. You're just as good as the next guy. But let me tell you what the Bible says about the next guy. You ready for this? The Bible says about the next guy. Now, remember, you're just as good as he is, remember? Right? But here's what the Bible says about the next guy. The Bible says that the next guy is a sinner. Now, I didn't say that. The Bible said that. You say, where does the Bible say that? It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all means everybody, the next guy. You're just as good as the next guy, but God said the next guy is a sinner. You say, well, I'm just as good as the next guy. I know. But let me tell you what the Bible says about the next guy. The Bible says that the next guy, that all of his righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's his good things, not his bad things. That's his good things. You say, well, what do I need to do? Well, what you need to do is humble yourself and come to Jesus. Don't miss Christmas. Don't miss Jesus. Don't miss him. And, you know, the Bible says, let me tell you what the Bible says about the next guy. I know you're just as good as the next guy. But the Bible says that if you don't get saved and the next guy doesn't get saved, that both you and the next guy are one day going to go straight into hell to pay the penalty for your sin. I didn't say that. That's what God said. So I don't think that's a good argument that you're just as good as the next guy. Why don't you swallow your pride and just come to Jesus? Don't miss him. There are folks right there in this story, right in this story. And if anybody should have seen him, they should have seen him, and they didn't. And it just grieves me. You got folks sitting right here this morning. It'd be a shame for you to be as close as you are right now and then blow it. I'm telling you, don't blow it. It'd be a shame for you to be as close. I mean, you're here in church. You say, well, what's so special about this place? Let me tell you what's so special about this place. In the last 50 years, thousands upon thousands of people have walked down these aisles or walked through these doors and have sat where you're seated this morning. And thousands upon thousands of people have trusted Christ as their Savior right here in this room. If they can do it, why can't you do it? I'm saying don't miss him. Oh, don't miss him. Don't miss him. You're here, and I'm preaching to you the gospel, and there's not a better place in all the world for you to get saved than right here, right now, this morning. Don't miss him. Isn't it strange that Herod missed him? And then, isn't it strange the innkeeper missed him? Isn't it strange these religious leaders missed him? And the men who did find him, the men that were looking for him, and the men who found him, the Bible calls them wise men. Have you seen that little bumper sticker? And it says, wise men still seek him. That's true. Wise men still seek him. Oh, don't miss him this morning, dear friend. He's right here. If you'll just see him.